The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. When they reached a place called Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter and James and John with him. Horror and dismay came over him, and he said to them, "My heart is ready to break with grief. Stop here and stay awake." Then he went forward a little, threw himself on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass him by. "Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take this cup away from me. Yet not what I will, but what thou wilt." He came back and found them asleep, and he said to Peter, "Asleep, Simon? Were you not able to stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake, all of you, and pray that you may be spared the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed. On his return, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know how to answer him. The third time he came and said to them, "Still sleeping? Still taking your ease? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed to sinful men. Up! Let us go forward. My betrayer is upon us." Suddenly, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. And with him was a crowd armed with swords and cudgels, sent by the chief priests, lawyers, and elders. Now the traitor had agreed with them upon a signal. "The one I kiss is your man. Seize him and get him safely away." When he reached the spot, he stepped forward at once and said to Jesus, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they seized him, held him fast. One of the party drew his sword and struck at the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus spoke, "Do you take me for a bandit, that you have come with swords and cudgels to arrest me? Day after day I was within your reach as I taught in the temple, and you did not lay hands on me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." Then the disciples all deserted him and ran away. Among those following was a young man with nothing on but a linen cloth. They tried to seize him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and ran away naked. Then they led Jesus away to the high priest's house, where the chief priests, elders, and doctors of the law were all assembling. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the high priest's courtyard, and there he remained, sitting among the attendants, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole council tried to find some evidence against Jesus to warrant a death sentence, but failed to find any. Many gave false evidence against him, but their statements did not tally. Some stood up and gave false evidence against him to this effect:
"We heard him say, 'I will pull down this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'"
But even on this point, their evidence did not agree. Then the high priest stood up in his place and questioned Jesus, "Have you no answer to the charges that these witnesses bring against you?" But he kept silence and made no reply. Again the high priest questioned him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "Need we call further witnesses? Have you heard the blasphemy? What is your opinion?" Their judgment was unanimous, that he was guilty and should be put to death. Some began to spit on him, blindfolded him, and struck him with their fists, crying out,
"Prophesy!"
And the high priest's men set upon him with blows. Meanwhile, Peter was still below in the courtyard. One of the high priest's serving maids came by and saw him there, warming himself. She looked into his face and said, "You were there too, with this man from Nazareth, this Jesus." "I know nothing. I do not understand what you mean." Then he went outside to the porch, and the maid saw him there again and began to say to the bystanders, "He is one of them." And again he denied it. Again a little later, the bystanders said to Peter,
"Surely you are one of them. You must be. You are a Galilean."
At this he broke into curses, and with an oath he said, "I do not know this man you speak of." Then the cock crew a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you'll disown me 3 times." And he burst into tears. As soon as morning came, the chief priests, having made their plan with the elders and lawyers in full council, put Jesus in chains. Then they led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "The words are yours." And the chief priests brought many charges against him. Pilate questioned him again, "Have you nothing to say in your own defense? You see how many charges they are bringing against you." But to Pilate's astonishment, Jesus made no further reply. At the festival season, the governor used to release one prisoner at the people's request. As it happened, the man known as Barabbas was then in custody with the rebels who had committed murder in the rising. When the crowd appeared asking for the usual favor, Pilate replied, "Do you wish me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he knew it was out of malice that they had brought Jesus before him. But the chief priests incited the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas rather than Jesus. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what shall I do with the man you call king of the Jews?"
"Crucify him."
"Why, what harm has he done?" But they shouted all the louder,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, in his desire to satisfy the mob, released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers took him inside the courtyard, the governor's headquarters, and called together the whole company. They dressed him in purple, and plaiting a crown of thorns, placed it on his head. Then they began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They beat him about the head with a cane, and spat upon him, and knelt down and paid mock homage to him. When they finished their mockery, they stripped him of the purple and dressed him in his own clothes. Then they took him out to crucify him. A man called Simon from Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country. They pressed him into service to carry his cross. They brought him to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. He was offered drugged wine, but he would not take it. Then they fastened him to the cross. They divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide which they should have. The hour of the crucifixion was 9 a.m, and the inscription giving the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." Two bandits were crucified with him, one at his right and the other on his left. The passerbys hurled abuse at him, wagging their heads.
"Aha! You would not pull down the temple, would you, and build it in 3 days? Come down from the cross and save yourself."
So too the chief priests and lawyers jested with one another.
"He saved others, and he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross. If we see that, we shall believe."
Even those who were crucified with him taunted him. At midday, a darkness fell over the whole land, which lasted until 3 p.m. And at 3, Jesus cried aloud, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders on hearing this said,
"Hark, he is calling Elijah."
A man ran and soaked a sponge in sour wine and held it to his lips on the end of a cane. "Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and died. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing opposite him saw how he died, he said,
"Truly, this man was a son of God."
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. There used to be a time when you couldn't rewatch movies randomly, well before there were video cassettes and DVDs and other things. Back then, sometimes in the afternoon, you'd just be stuck watching a movie that you've seen 20 times before because it was the only thing on, because they showed it every couple of weeks, right? There's a joke about this situation. One time, two men were sitting there watching the same movie they'd seen for the 20th time. And one man turns to his friend and says, "You know what? I bet you this time he's not going to trip and fall." And his friend looked at him a little strange and said, "Okay, 20 bucks. And when the time came in the movie, do you know what happened? He tripped and fell. And when the movie was over, the friend turned to the one who owed him money and stuck out his hand and said, "Why did you think he wouldn't trip this time?" And the man said, "Nobody's dumb enough to fall and trip 20 different times, are they?" When they were approaching Jerusalem, Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it." Now we've made it to the point in the church here where Jesus enters triumphantly into Jerusalem, the time where the crowds spread their cloaks on the road and others spread leafy branches from the fields that they had cut, where everyone in the crowd joins in and yells out, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king, coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heavens." This is on Sunday. A couple of days later, we read in Mark, it was 2 days before the Passover, the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. All of our readings for the rest of this week, until we get to the great vigil of Easter on Saturday night, all of the readings will end where we end this morning, with Jesus in the tomb, and the disciples scattered. The disciples, though, they grew up singing the song we read this morning. They grew up knowing that the king would come and that hosannas would be said in his honor. But they also knew the other part of that verse, that passage. That same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Think about it. They knew it. They grew up singing and reading these verses. But on this day they hide. They know they've experienced what Isaiah had promised, what we read this morning. They saw fulfilled, right? "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear as those who are taught." But now that tongue is temporarily silenced. And as we move through this week, especially on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, it can feel grim. But I've got good news for you. We know how the story ends. Paul said it this way, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Paul says that Jesus knew what he had to do. He knew that Satan was laying a trap. But guess what? This isn't a horror movie. It's not some adult drama where everything ends up in a depressing state and we all leave the theater with existential dread, wondering why the world keeps on spinning. No, no. This is a heist movie. Jesus enters the trap willingly. Why? Why can Paul say he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross? Because he came to set us free. He came to lead us out of the pit, out of the place where we were held captive, free to make us his co-heirs, to kill death in the grave once and for all. Paul says, "God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus walked into that trap. And Jesus and the Father had worked together to spring a trap of their own. This week, when the readings seem bleak, when you're wrestling with yourselves asking, "Do I want to go? Do I want to listen to the story again? I know it's going to get better." I encourage you, yes, come. Hear what he did, what he went through because of his great love for us. And remember this, even on Good Friday, when things seem the bleakest, when the altar and the church are stripped bare, remember he promised that he would rebuild the temple of his body in 3 days. And Jesus always keeps his promises. Amen.